The soul in a human being is not of this world. It is a cosmic being of infinity and bears within all the laws of infinity. For this reason, the soul cannot exclusively remain in the physical body for years or even decades, but must, whatever its state of consciousness, be able to spend time and move freely in the cosmos again and again. This means without a physical body. It can do so when its garment, the person, sleeps deeply. Then the soul leaves its sleeping human body and moves in those spiritual spheres that correspond to its state of consciousness. It remains linked to its earthly shell through the silver cord, also called the information cord. We have already heard about the causal computer and the all-computer. The all-computer consists of the primordial central sun and the secondary primordial suns, which are the suns of attributes and of natures, also called the seven prism suns. They disperse the seven basic powers of God, which emanate from the primordial central sun. Each of these seven basic powers are contained in the other. They radiate as 7x7 law powers in the 7x7 pure heavens. The all-computer is the absolute law, God, and what it radiates is, in turn, the eternal all-law, God. We could also say that the primordial central sun is the origin of the wellspring, God, and what it emanates, the eternal law, is the wellspring, God. The origin of the wellspring and the wellspring itself contain all the lawful principles of God and all the divine information in the all. The absolute law is God. It took on form in the nature of God Father. He, the All One, gave all pure beings the essence of heaven as heritage, thus granting them divinity. It is the eternal law in which each pure being lives, from where it came and from which it draws eternally. Thus, the all-computer radiates the absolute law. The causal computer radiates what every single person has fed into it in the way of unlawful sensations, thoughts, words, deeds, emotions, inclinations, passions, drives or urging desires, and has not cleared up yet. All this remains registered in the soul and in the causal computer as well. But when a person truly repents of his sinful behavior with all his heart, and clears it up by making amends, forgiving and asking for forgiveness, it will be erased from his soul. Therefore, what is remedied in the soul is at the same time erased in the causal computer. The unlawful energies formerly stored in the computer turn into positive forces, because by clearing up the unlawfulness, it is transformed into the positive, by the grace of God. The positive then goes into the all-computer and is stored in the planes of preparation as a potential for recognition and memory. One can say that the soul is also a computer that absorbs both the positive and the negative. What the soul absorbs as light is divine and goes into the all-computer. The sinfulness of the soul is stored in the causal computer. The cosmic law reads, light attracts, in turn, light. Darkness attracts, in turn, darkness. We should be aware that every aspect of energy, whether we call it radiation, or power, or sensation, or thought, or word, or inclination or deed, is consciousness. The earth is also made up of innumerable aspects of consciousness, whether we call them stones, coal, minerals, ores or whatever. All are energies that have their different degrees of consciousness and radiate according to the vibration of their degree of evolution. This applies to everything in the whole universe, including soul and person. What the soul radiates as light and shadow also has an effect on the body, the person himself, the envelopment of the soul, is likewise made up of countless consciousness aspects. They are the cellular tissues that also radiate according to their vibration. So one can say that the person is his thought. He is his thought body. Just as he thinks and behaves, he radiates. This is what marks him. The radiation of the soul is its state of consciousness. All these countless energy aspects are stored in the all computer if they are positive. That is, divine. And if they are against the law, that is, negative. They are stored in the causal computer. As mentioned before, the soul leaves its material garment at night and goes into those spheres that attract it. Depending on its state of consciousness, there, it gathers different impressions and takes these into its physical body before it awakens the next morning in its little incarnation. A soul with a higher state of consciousness goes to higher and finer spheres. There it participates in spiritual schoolings, which are conducted by pure beings, where it learns about God's laws and about the law of sowing and reaping. Aside from this, the awakened and light-filled soul is also given explanations and help for its new day in its physical body. With these instructions, advice and help, it then goes back into its body, into its house of flesh and bone. When the person awakens, the soul is already in its shell. Because through the information cord it perceives when its body is entering a lighter phase of sleep just before awakening, it has already slipped into its house before the body awakes, or is about to. We notice this when the body jerks upon awakening. The information, instructions, advice and help that were brought along emanate from the soul, which is now in its body again. As radiation, the awakened soul tries to pass on its impressions from the spheres beyond matter to its shell. The person, and radiates this wisdom and knowledge into its brain. These instructions in particular, brought by the soul, are of great help for the new day in the earthly garment, both for itself and its shell. The person who is aligned with God and lives the moment can receive the impulses of the soul and will act accordingly. Particularly with these morning impulses, he can in certain cases already organize the program of his day. When the person then lives the moment in every situation, including his work, he will continuously receive impulses from his soul, which it received during its nightly stay in the lighter and finer spheres. On the other hand, a soul which is still shadowed and obstinate cannot enter higher or finer spheres during the night, because it has not yet opened its consciousness for this. It, too, leaves its sleeping body, but it moves about either in the lower astral spheres or on the earth. And so, the soul takes the impressions back into its body from that place where it was attracted to, according to its thought patterns and correspondences. Such a soul enters its body in a dull and blunt condition, just as its consciousness still is. And then, upon awakening, the body does not really know what to do with its new day. People who do not use the energy of the day frequently let themselves be driven by various kinds of astral energies, thus wasting a valuable day that also holds many lessons for them. Thus, the one who has let the day pass him by has not taken part in the lessons of the day and has not come to know himself. This means that day after day he keeps building on his causes and therefore on his fate, his suffering and everything that can hit him as an effect. And so, while the physical bodies, the human beings, are sleeping deeply, the divine world gives instructions, advice and help for the new day on earth to those souls that want to be taught. This instruction and help conform to the all computer or the causal computer, depending on what the stored data will show the person on the next day. So we can say that our eternal heavenly Father and the pure beings of heaven, our brothers and sisters in the eternal being, help us in manifold ways. They help us to recognize correctly what the new day will bring us. At the same time, they give us help on how we can clear it up according to the law of inner life. The divine world also helps us to solve problems and to recognize the lawful solution in the situations that the new day brings. However, the prerequisite is that we live the day. Otherwise your disembodied soul will suffer. Every person is in the school of life, Earth, and should make use of the lessons, the day, the building blocks of the day, the moments, seconds, minutes and hours are of the greatest significance for each of us. Live the moment. For wherever a person goes in his sensations and thoughts, a part of his consciousness goes there. His mental and physical energy also flows there, and the content of his sensations and thoughts accumulates there. Let us remember that all souls in the spheres of purification and all the incarnated souls and their shells, the human beings, continuously receive information that corresponds to their state of consciousness. The day speaks to each person in his own language. And therefore, everyone can understand the day in his own language as well. But not everyone can understand another person's language of the day, unless he has stored the same or similar thing in himself, which is addressed in him at the same time by the all computer or the causal computer. Then it is possible that two people meet so that they may discuss or clear up with each other what is meant for them today. That is, now, I repeat, everything moves according to immutable laws. As the stars move, so does the causal computer, in which is stored the law of sowing and reaping. It stores all the negativity that was created by a person and radiates back whatever is indicated for that particular day for every single person and for each soul in the spheres of purification. The causal computer does not inflict a particular fate upon a person overnight. Over and over again, it admonishes soul and person by way of the eternal law, the all computer, before what the person himself has fed into the causal computer takes effect. For example, before an illness breaks out or a blow of fate strikes, soul and person receive many impulses, warnings and hints. The person who lives the moment clearly perceives these admonitions and warnings. God, our eternal Father, admonishes and warns us through the causal computer. If a person then clears up with him in time what he has recognized, then what soon may have befallen him is partly or entirely transformed in his soul and in the causal computer. It will then be erased in its entirety or in part. Even when a grave cause is at the root of the problem and the person still has some effects to bear, since these serve the further purification of his soul, he can be sure that despite all calamities, if he trusts in God, repents of what he has recognized, asks for forgiveness and forgives, then he will have to bear only part of the effects of this grave cause. But the one who does not live the moment, and therefore does not recognize or clear up his wrongdoing, will have to bear the full effect when the causal computer radiates the whole cause as an effect. We should think about the fact that what a person can clear up on earth is often only possible for the soul in long cycles of light. For in the spheres of purification, the inner clock ticks differently. There is neither day nor night there, and quite different proportions of light exist, so that the radiation between the causal computer and the soul is also different. When a physical body passes away, the all computer and the causal computer register this. What the causal computer has stored comes into effect in the soul at greater intervals. Since the causal computer is now solely set to the cycles of light, in images, it reflects to the disembodied soul its causes and the suffering brought on by them. This means that the causes have a much more intense effect on the disembodied soul, since the soul must experience in and on its own soul body the suffering it caused its neighbor. In its physical body it had its chance to clear up its faults and sins in the course of days, while as a disembodied soul in the purification spheres it may perhaps accomplish this only after long and unimaginable suffering. As a human being, the soul could have cleared up many a burden in its physical body. The pain would have been less severe because a great deal of illness and much pain can be relieved by natural healing remedies or pain relievers. But there are no alleviating methods in the realms of the souls. Nothing can be softened there. the soul has to continue to bear the suffering it caused others until it recognizes and repents with all its heart. And while the soul in a physical body on earth receives manifold help from God's hand of grace, in the soul realms it experiences not only pain, as in the physical body, but it also feels the pain and grief of those upon whom it has inflicted suffering, pain, sorrow or worries. At the same time, it must see and suffer in its soul body the whole scope of consequences of its human ego, including everything that it caused to others through this. The causal computer stores the data and brings them back into the soul body as images. These images bear within the pain and suffering and come alive in the disembodied soul in all detail. It feels the sorrow of its own ego in itself and at the same time, the suffering it caused others. The one who thinks about this seriously and becomes aware of it is touched by it and will use his life on earth the moment, the second, the minute, the hour, all the day's building blocks. For these are gifts of grace from God. The one who lives in these building blocks in the moments experiences and gets to know himself and gradually begins to live in the right way. But the one who does not live in the moment, because he is busy with useless matters, for example, with the past or the future, or involves himself with matters that concern only his fellow man, is lived by what he has sent out in sensations, thoughts, words and deeds. And from the wheel of reincarnation. And so, the person who lives in the law of sowing and reaping, that is, in sin, is under the influence of the causal computer and will be controlled by it. We people are called by God, our Father, and by Christ, our Redeemer, to fulfill the laws of God, the Ten Commandments, which are excerpts from the all-encompassing law, God, and the Sermon on the Mount. The one who strives to live accordingly will find his way out of the law of sowing and reaping, which is his own slough law. A person will continue to live under the pressure of his own causes in the slough of his negative sensations, thoughts, words and deeds, of his passions, cravings and spitefulness, until he changes his attitude and, with the power of Christ, raises himself out of his own morass. Only then does he gradually begin to live in God and escape from the wheel of reincarnation that is kept in motion by the all-computer. Only when we have escaped from the wheel of reincarnation by fulfilling God's law step by step, are we directly guided by God, the absolute law. This guidance then takes place from the pure being, from the omnipresent Spirit of God. Without the intermediary help of the causal computer, many people concern themselves with their horoscope, with the influence of the stars on their daily routine. The stars can control our life on earth only as long as we live under the pressure of our own causes. That is, within those ranges in which the causal computer is active. However, soul and person can free themselves from the wheel of reincarnation through the actualization of God's laws. Then the horoscope is no longer relevant, since they are no longer under the influence of the stars. Let us consider the following statement. Purity serves the pure, and impurity, the impure. That is, to each his own, that which he has sown. The person who lives and moves in purity, in God's law, has attained rebirth in the Spirit of the Lord. He has cleared up everything with his neighbor and is in harmony with the forces of the nature kingdoms, the minerals, plants and animals. The life, God, is the eternal, omnipresent cosmic law of love and harmony. It flows through infinity and brings about what it is: love, harmony, peace, happiness and health. It contributes to the well-being of the one who lives in the all-law, God, the eternal law, God, the all-law of love, manifests itself each day on earth. It strives to bring to each soul and each person what it is, selfless love, harmony, perpetual happiness and peace. When a person violates the eternal law of love and all harmony, he creates his own law, the law of the human ego. It is the undivine, which the person sows through his human sensations, thoughts, words and deeds. He also sows all aspects of his passions and cravings, of his hostilities and addictions such as gluttony, alcoholism, excessive sexuality or excessive smoking. This is then his personal law. It is registered simultaneously by his soul and by the causal computer. With it, the soul binds itself to the wheel of reincarnation. Each person creates his own personal law in this way, according to the world of his sensations and thoughts. This is then his individual life. When we think over our life from this point of view, we become aware that what the moment brings us can never be our neighbor's moment. For he has another world of sensations, thoughts and senses. So, just as we cannot eat, drink, sleep or walk for others, we cannot live through another person's moment either. And he cannot live through our moment and our situation. We could very well influence the life of our fellow men by acting, for example, in a domineering way toward them and forcing them to do our will. Wanting to dominate others is also an addiction. When we succeed in this, we are tied to our fellow man whom we have made servile. Every binding is against the divine law of free will. The soul and the causal computer also record such causes. If we have violated the law, God, the divine eternal law of love and all harmony cannot touch us directly, for it is overlaid by our personal law, also called the ego law or astral law. Despite this, the eternal law flows toward us. It flows into the causal computer and brings what we have caused to become manifest in our soul and in us, the person. In this, the divine law works indirectly through the causal computer because the superimposed ego law does not let it flow unhindered. This means that we have violated the eternal law of love and harmony. We alone are the reason for the obstruction that prevents the law, God, from flowing directly through us. And so, the causes we produced are what stand in opposition to the divine stream. This is why it is of utmost importance for us to live in the moment, to come to know ourselves and to rectify in time the humanness we have recognized. A person who lives in the building blocks of the day in the moments, the seconds, the minutes and the hours is guided and will thus also be reminded or admonished in time about what he should do, so that he does not fall into his own trap or bring about the fate, the result, the effect of the causes he entered into the causal computer himself. When he fails to make use of the many reminders and admonishments, he will be stricken by what he entered himself into his soul and into the causal computer. For each day unfolds to each one of us a part of what he himself has input. At every moment, the sensations and thoughts that concern a person's spiritual and physical situation flash through his mind. They want to either warn him or show him new ways or help him out of a situation or guide him correctly in a situation. Therefore, the building blocks of life, the moments, help us master our life situation. They show us in illness, for instance, the way to health. Even when they preface a blow of fate or an illness, we may be sure that the way to health and freedom is given in each blow of fate and in each illness. We should be aware of the fact that the power of God is present in everything, even in illness, fate, suffering and sorrow. If we turn to God and strive to lead a pure life, we will experience God in our fate, in our illness, in our suffering and in our sorrow, and will receive guidance and help in manifold ways and means. God's love and grace are effective when we give ourselves over to Him and strive to repent of the sinful aspects we have recognized, to ask for forgiveness and to forgive and no longer do them. But when we do not grasp the moments of our life, they get a hold of us, and then we have to bear what we have sown, what we have entered into our soul and into the causal computer. The happy-go-lucky person who lets the day slip by says, fate directs us. We have to take it as it comes, since it comes from on high. We should not take things so lightly. We have a mind after all. However, if it is crammed full with all the unessential matters an ordinary person daily concerns himself with, our many feelings and thoughts, then in the end we will no longer know who we are, but only that we are called as we are named. We should always remember that our spiritual body, the soul, has been born into a physical body so that during its lifespan on matter it may expiate what it has burdened itself with as a human being and not yet cleared up during earlier lives and during this life. The guide to a higher life, the day, speaks to us and shows us in pictures what we should clear up or what we have already cleared up. A person who lives the moment is shown by the moment how he can master his situations and his daily work and how he can find his way out of his difficulties and problems. The day then speaks to every single one of us in manifold ways, according to what we bear within, light or shadow. And so, every person is the architect of his fate. For what comes to him has been entered by him into his soul and into the causal computer. Nothing can come toward us that was not entered by us into our soul and into the all computer or the causal computer. Everything, the positive as well as the negative, is based on our sensations, thoughts, words and deeds, on our emotions and inclinations, on our passions, on envy, hatred or quarrelsomeness. A person shapes himself with the divine and with the sinful, just as the wind moves and drives the clouds. In the same way, many people let themselves be driven by their thoughts, from one thought to another, from one situation to another. We should recognize that the one who lets himself be driven is driven, thus adding on to the structure of his own fate. We should be aware that everything wants to tell us something. The one who does not consciously live in the day will be driven. What he has overlooked in the indications, reminders and admonishments of the moment is what will continue to drive him. It is his own ego.